Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 95, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of April 28th, 2014. As always, I am Derek, and I am joined by Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, indeed, or as I like to call it, 11:30.
I woke up at 5 a.m., okay?
Yeah.
I'm a morning person, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I slept again until 8 a.m., so.
And yet, you weren't up when I woke up.
Because I don't want to be on before 8, 7 a.m.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I was kind of having one of those weird moments. You know those, dreams that you have? And then you swear that after you have the dream, you swear on your life that you've had that dream before. And
I've had that before, yeah, but not this time.
Yeah, but you know, but the thing is, if you think back to before you had the dream, you know, you think, I hadn't even thought of that in, you know, forever. It's like one of those things where either you never thought of it or you never had that dream before or you'd forgotten about the dream. In my case, it was a really weird dream. Like, I was dreaming about watching this anime episode of Ranma 1/2, except it wasn't right. You know, the design of the house was wrong. The things that were, you know, the things that were happening, I was like, that never happened in any episode at all. And yet, at the same time, my brain is convinced, no, you have the DVD where this happens. And now that I'm awake and actually have some caffeine in me, I'm thinking, No, that never happened. That is not an actual episode. You don't have that.
Oh my goodness, you just made me remember something that I thought was actually something I saw from real life. It was actually part of a dream.
Oh dear.
I think it was a while back. I was in Kansas, and I was sleeping, and I dreamt that I saw the G4, it was a G4? Yeah, G4, right? G4 arc of One Piece, an episode of One Piece. And it was the one where Chopper jumps as a doctor and Nami was, you know, right, a nurse. Oh. And then, some years later, I saw that episode, I'm like, wait, why does it look familiar?
Yeah.
I dreamt I saw this before it aired, and it was like a year before that filler episode aired, I think.
I kind of had that when I was younger. I had that before I ever saw Star Wars. I had like a weird dream about a golden robot. And then like years later, I saw Star Wars. I was like, wait a minute. This is from my dream.
That's exactly it.
But yeah,
I just realized that One Piece filler episode arc thing was not real. It was a dream, and that's why I thought, I was like, wait, that doesn't fit in with the timeline of when the episode aired.
Mo, why were you dreaming about Nami in a nurse outfit?
Because.
Indeed.
I didn't know I dreamt about One Piece before I even knew about One Piece that much.
That's weird. This dream that I had last night, it was so bizarre because, I mean, the house that design was completely wrong. And even while I was dreaming it and sort of dozing in and dozing out, I was just thinking to myself, no, I know that's not right. I know very well what the house looks like, and that is not what it looks like. There is no way that this anime exists. So, yeah. But, yeah. Other than that, let's go ahead and start with the news, shall we?
Okay.
Yep, we're going to talk about the Japanese comic rankings for April 14th through the 20th, starting with Ballroom A Yokoso Volume 10.
Six.
In 10th place. Right. Sorry. All right.
Still need time to wake up, I guess. Yeah. 9th place, we have Shiro no Mon, Daimimon Volume 12.
All right, we have 8th place, Wolf Girl and Black Prince, Volume 9.
7th place, Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 11.
6th place, Chihaya Furu, Volume 24.
5th place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 8.
Oh yes, and by the way, for those of you that remember last week's episode where I was going on about how I could have sworn that Shokugeki no Soma was getting an anime, no, I was actually thinking of The Seven Deadly Sins. That's getting an anime. All right, 4th place. Wait.
Yes, it is 4th place.
Is it me that... Yeah, it's me.
Yeah,
that
your
says
turn.
Okay, yeah. Kingdom, Volume 34.
Haven't read that. I need to read that again. 3rd place, Maji, Volume 21.
2nd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
And 1st place, Case Closed, also known as Detective Conan, Volume 83.
Nice, nice. That is quite nice indeed. All right, time for the New York Times manga bestseller list for April 13th through the 19th. And with 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Before the Fall, Volume 1.
9th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 2.
8th place, Bleach, Volume 60.
7th place, Magi the Labyrinth of Magic, Volume 5.
We should really look at that series.
Okay. Yes, same here.
All right, 6th place, Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki.
5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
4th place, Dead Man Wonderland, Volume 2.
3rd place, Sora Online, Ironcrad. See, I told you there was an end in there.
Well, that's weird. Okay. 2nd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 37.
And 1st place, Naruto, Volume 65.
Indeed. Alright, excellent. And let's see, what else do we have? Well, okay, it's time for us to take a look at the North American anime and manga releases for April 20th through the 26th. So, for the anime, we have, good lord,
a ton of Eureka 7.
Yeah, we have Eureka 7 Blu-ray Part 1 and Part 1 Limited Edition. We have Eureka 7 DVD Part 1, Part 2, a DVD Part 1. We have Eureka 7 Blu-ray Part 2 and DVD Part 2. No, why no Limited Edition? And we also have Eureka 7 Good Night Sleep Tight Young Lovers DVD and Blu-ray.
Wait, what? Young Lovers?
Yeah, DVD and Blu-ray and DVD. Yeah, I
have. Dang, Funimation, you on a roll here.
I've never seen. It's a movie, but I've never seen any of Eureka 7, so I have no idea what it's about exactly.
Neither have I. Mm. It's got giant robots in it, I think. I'm not sure. That's why I think I saw it every time.
It does. All right, what else do we have?
Itamari Sketch by 365 Blu-ray Complete Collection. Season 2.
Right,
it's the next night. I just say bye because...
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why either. Alright, Little Busters, Blu-ray Collection 2 and DVD Collection 2.
Neka Monogatari, Black, Tsubasa Family Blu-ray Set Limited Edition. Aniplex. Oh, Aniplex is finally realizing something. Wait. Oh, yeah, look, they actually realized something.
It's not insanely expensive. Nice. Okay, we also have Star Blazers $21.99 2 on Blu-ray and DVD.
Let's see.
All right, let's see.
I knew it. It's by what's his name? The art, as you can see. I really got to watch Leiji Matsumoto's works. I like his art.
Yeah, I need to read and watch more of his stuff. I haven't really paid attention. I haven't really had a chance to read most of them, or watch most of them. But all right, let's talk about the manga releases. We have Animal Land, Volume 9.
Ride of the Water God, Volume 15.
Bunny Drop, Volume 10.
Yeah. Flowers of Evil, Volume 9.
Gantz, Volume 31.
I think it ended. That's the final volume, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't care.
True, I don't care either. Anyway, Shigarashi, When They Cry, Festival Accompanying Arc, Volume 4.
And that's a series I'm never going to read because, one, too violent. Two, it's just confusing.
That's the point of it. It's meant to be confusing so the reader go, oh, I know what happened. No, this isn't what happened.
No, you don't. I know. I don't know. There's just something weird about...
It's a horror mystery.
Yeah, an excessively violent manga that also has, you know, like moe-style drawings.
Yeah.
And it just creeps me out even more. But, all right.
Yandere everywhere.
Yes. Inoboku, Secret Service, Volume 3.
No matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular, Volume 3.
Yeah, you, the listeners, it's your fault.
See, now you chase some of them away.
They'd have to be here for me to chase them away first.
Oh, true.
All right, Dark Souls 2 Collector's Edition PC game also came out. Good lord. What is wrong, Bandai Namco? What is wrong with you? $109.
I would buy that. I don't care. I would buy that.
I mean, what on earth is in the Collector's Edition?
There's a lot. You look at the Steam.
Must be like
a... When the Steam got released, they have like a special exclusive weapons, music CD, art book, all that stuff. That's why there's so much.
Do these special weapons keep you from dying?
No.
Uh huh. It's not worth
it's
the money.
It's called Dark Souls for a reason. Okay, that's just the name of it. It's just it's that kind of game. You're gonna die more than once.
Yes, I had noticed that. Fortunately, my controller is working again, so I can actually play it.
Well, yes, you tried playing it?
Not yet, but I was playing
Skyrim. You hope your PC specs can work it, because mine don't.
Yeah, I decided to try Skyrim on, what was it, Legendary, or, you know, whatever the highest setting is.
Legendary.
Yeah, and I got to a point where I was like, even the wolves are dangerous as hell. This is not the Skeevers. Are almost killing me. This is not a good sign. And I'm too low level on everything to be able to block. This is going to be a problem.
The general idea of Skyrim, you're supposed to be playing on easy or normal in the very beginning, and then when you get better, then you play, you know, harder difficulty so you level your skills up faster.
Well, yes, except that I've played through, what was it, Expert or whatever. I don't know, like the one that's right above the middle difficulty, but still two below the highest.
I've been playing through Adept the entire time.
Yeah, and I mean, I tried to set it to like that legendary difficulty, and it's still not difficult on my highest character, although maybe if I don't know, I could set it to that and then try my advanced character, see how that works, but anyway.
Dark Souls is more fun, anyways.
Yes, carry on. What else do
we have? Demon Gaze, PS Vita game.
Spice and Wolf, Volume, Novel 11.
And Sword Art Online, Yinecrad Novel, Volume 1. The light novel, the original.
Cool.
The original. Don't say, oh, the anime was great. The anime was great. The anime. Light novel came first this time.
I didn't watch, but anyway. Okay, let's see. All right. What else do we have? We have some other pieces of news that should be discussed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Evangelion's manga's final volume is going to add 28 new pages.
I was wondering what was taking them.
The 14th volume on November 20th, which is 7 months from now, with working music CD, bookends, booklet, variant cover, as you want to buy this.
Yes, I too want to buy it, and I will buy it, because I have all the other volumes now, and we need to go over that last volume, so I'm just kind of sitting here like, release it, you bastards. Release it! I know the chapters are out.
Okay, so, yeah, I just said everything they said, and,
Yeah, I wonder what the new pages are going to have. It's probably going to be right at the end, like, after the happy ending, where they're like, lol, just kidding, everything is terrible, everything is awful when you're being murdered, mind.
I don't understand why you guys like this series in the first place.
What? You enjoyed it, didn't you, or...
Well, I enjoyed it once I understood the meaning of it, but I still don't like the whole... dark, whatever, ending stuff. You know, I don't like series that have terrible endings. I mean, not terrible, but like,
well, that is,
sad, tragic endings. It's like, what the heck, man?
Yeah, well.
And everybody dies in the end.
Although, I am kind of curious, I am curious to see what those 28 pages will be, and I hope we get them in the, you know, whether in the US version, but I wonder whether it's just going to be them just, you know, adding extra pages here and there, or if it's going to be like an epilogue chapter kind of deal, which, I don't know, an epilogue chapter would be nice. I mean, it would be
better.
It would be kind of weird and sort of against the general tone of the series, but at the same time, it would be kind of nice to have, like, you know, a kind of an epilogue of, hey, look at all these characters that... now they're all back together and friends again and whatnot, and all your favorite relationships came true, or some junk like that.
This is Kanan now! No, I'm kidding.
This is Kanan?
No.
Settlers of Kanan?
Canon.
Canon.
All right. Canon, Kanan, Conan, I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, well, that's good. That's good news. What else do we have here?
Rurouni Kenshin spin-off manga about Shishio is going to launch this fall. Nobuhiro Watsuki's putting embalming on hiatus before entering the final arc. So, you know, for embalming.
Embalming is still ongoing?
Still ongoing. I guess it's like, it was like, oh, I guess I'll just go back to embalming if people don't really like my...
Yeah, nobody... That's kind of what's weird is I don't think anyone actually cares about embalming over here. Or at least I haven't seen anyone scanlate the chapters, or anyone actually officially publish the chapters, which is a bit of a shame, but...
Watsuki.
Oh well, so
He's only famous because of Running Kenshin. I've read anything he tries to make, people are like, I don't like this.
I still liked Fuzo Renkin. I thought it was great. I thought it
Also
had.
pretty good. I think you can't finish reading it.
Yeah, I read all of it while I watched the entire anime, which
I
wasn't very
really want,
long.
I really would have liked Gunblade Wesley kind of thing in some way, because
Right,
there was
but.
a friend of ours who actually liked the series.
All right, well, what else? What other news do we have?
Okay, another Attack on Titan news. They sell over 30 million copies.
Huh, could have sworn that we already knew that.
Well, apparently this is brought back up again. Okay, so Attack on Titan is third to sell like over 30 million copies. The second, let's see, okay, well, I didn't say where Naruto was, but One Piece, the first two of One Piece. Market research firm Oricon reported on Thursday that Hajime Isayama's Attack on Titan has sold 30.37 million copies as of April 20th. It is only the third series to sell 30 million copies since Oricon began reporting on book sales in 2009. The first were One Piece and Naruto. One Piece sold 38 million in 2011 alone.
Oh wow. Yep. That is, that's impressive.
Doesn't say how much Naruto sold. It's like Naruto. Oh, that's irrelevant. Like that's just. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
like Naruto much. That's kind of mean at the same time. It's like, so what about Naruto? Oh yeah, we don't care about that.
Yeah, boo to you, Naruto. Naruto-kun.
Be clear something.
All right. What else have we got?
Link not found. The One Piece link was not found. Like it's so much, I can't find it. Okay, here's some big news.
Yes.
Hunter Hunter manga is going to resume in June.
In June, eh?
In June 2nd.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
Interesting
The
that.
return reads as, what is being aimed for is darkness. What is being hunted is hope. What blocks the way's end is despair. Okay, make sure there's no hiatus this time, please.
Oh, you know it's there's gonna be a hiatus. He's never gonna end this series.
Yep.
It will be ongoing and eternal.
Oh, also, Shueisha and Viz announced that Yoshihiro Togashi, basically the series is going to run simultaneously in English too.
Oh,
So this
really?
will be in the. So this means Togashi, this means you cannot run away and do whatever you want.
We're watching now.
We're watching.
Legally. I know we were.
Also, I am not going to read this chapter until I catch the series, so I catch up on anyway. I think I'm still in like the first tournament where it
Oh
starts.
dear. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking we should probably look into actually reading this series. Let's see.
People say a lot of good stuff, but I still
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good stuff of it about it.
I
Let's
have
see.
to.
I should. Oh wow. They have. Oh, I think they have. Let's see. They have 32 volumes available in the U.S.
It would have been
Let
a
me
heck of a lot
see.
more if he hadn't gone hiatus. It's like 2 years.
Well, yeah, but I want to see how caught up that is. So they're probably completely caught up. They're probably just like, yeah, right, we're going to wait. It's like Japan is like, no, you can't be caught up, and the US is like, screw you, we're not gonna wait. So, all right, I should let's see, we got that. See, there's volume one. Let me see, $8.99. How much do I save? Oh, I only saved 10%. Screw that. I'm gonna see if I can find it at Barnes and Noble. I have a quest now. Hopefully work is slow enough today that I can leave early so I can run to Barnes and Noble and see if I can find Hunter Hunter. Because I'm curious now. It would be interesting to read that, but at the same time I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to be caught up by June.
Neither am I.
Although, it wouldn't be impossible.
Actually, I could be caught up before June. I mean, how many times is it only anyway?
Well, it's 32 volumes, which is a lot, but we'd basically have to read as much as we've read for One Piece so far,
So three
plus
volumes each.
five extra
Oh, not each
volumes.
day. Not each day. I cannot do one each day.
That would,
Please
yeah,
don't
that would
do
not
each day.
happen.
It'll
But
hurt me.
still, if it's going to be running simultaneously, we're either going to have to ignore it or be caught up and understand what the hell is going on.
We'll have to
So,
be caught up to understand what's going on.
yeah, I think we might have to do that. All right, well, I'm gonna look into buying a volume or two, see what my Barnes and Noble has, because I like to do things legally here.
Same here. Oh, speaking of legally.
Oh no, something that makes me want to be illegal.
Ah, okay, so this This is related to manga news in a way, because it's going to affect all of us. The FCC is going to vote on a new anti-net neutrality guidelines by May 15th, which is coming in like next month.
Oh dear.
Yes. So, you know those companies we like to use to watch our anime or read our manga? Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine having to pay extra just to like, you know, order something.
Just to go
onto the site to order something, you know?
But they already charge, Amazon already charges me anyway, but...
Yeah.
Nonetheless, oh dear. We'll have to see what... Oh, well.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I never liked it at all.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what anti-net neutrality guidelines. My thing's not letting me click on links anymore.
Just remember these two names, Comcast and Verizon.
Screw you, Comcast and Verizon.
Exactly.
It's
funny. Yesterday, me and my dad, we were just going to buy a new microwave at Walmart. He was like, oh, look, there's an iPhone. And I was like, it's a Verizon. I was like, I hate Verizon.
Well, let's see. The Federal Communications Commission will propose new guidelines in agreement with a recent U.S. Court of Appeals decision to reject federal requirements that internet service providers must treat all internet traffic equally. I would just like to officially say that our government can go suck a dick, okay?
Yeah.
Negotiate separate rates with content companies. Here's the thing. Yeah, so it's kind of funny. There's like the FCC's new proposal will allow companies such as Comcast and Verizon to negotiate separate rates with content companies like Netflix, Amazon, or Google. And I'm kind of sitting here thinking, okay, what exactly does that mean for someone like me who gets his internet through Google?
Yep.
I would just like to say it. Suck it, Comcast and Verizon. Ha 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 ha. Or at least I hope that's what that means I can say. Okay. But, yeah, anyway, the guidelines are in line with the previous court decision, which stated that internet service providers can block or slow website, as well as charge video sites like Hulu, YouTube or Hulu to deliver content to users. The decision came after Comcast said it had the right to slow its users' access to the file sharing service BitTorrent. Which is a little frustrating when you consider that they went from, hey, let's stop the piracy, to, hey, we're going to mess with YouTube and Hulu. Okay, let's see previously. Mm-hmm. All right, this didn't allow ISPs to charge consumers extras. I'm really kind of pissed at the FCC for not doing their freaking job and actually defending net neutrality. Oh, well.
Oh, remember Family Guy.
Well, yeah. Oh, well. But anyway, I think that's it. Do we have any other news to talk about?
No.
All right. Oh, well. All right, then. Yeah, thanks for ending us on a downer. All right.
Sometimes you have to end on a downer.
Yeah, well, all right. Yeah, well, it's time for us to move on. Let's go ahead and talk about... and go over our review for the week, which is One Piece Volumes 25 through 27. We'll see you all there. Welcome to the review portion of Manga Cube. This week, we make some decent progress, yet only get just a little over a quarter of the way through the series. Good gosh. We have One Piece Volumes 25, 26, and 27, which comprise the latter half of the Jaya arc and the beginning of the
Skypiea arc.
Yep. Alright, so starting with Volume 25, the first thing that really stands out is that I had forgotten how casually funny One Piece can be.
Yes. That's exactly why I like this arc a lot.
Yeah, it's because a lot of the humor from One Piece comes from, like, the big moments, like Sanji running away from the Okama or Usopp eating the Tatabasco sauce. You know, just the big, wacky faces. But in this arc, there's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more underplayed and just a lot more casual and funnier somehow. Like, after Nami finishes reading the story of Nolan the Liar, she says, "Sadly, the liar died without ever becoming a brave warrior of the sea."
That wasn't in the book!
It's like, why are you looking at me when you say that? And stop adding your own commentary. And her face is just brilliant. And let's see, there was another part. Let me see if I can find it. It's just a little ways away. Oh, where did it go? It's here somewhere.
Yeah, I wasn't able to pinpoint why it is so much, but yeah, the casual humor is one of the many reasons.
It definitely is. Okay, there it is. It's the moment where they're, you know, asking Mont Blanc if the City of Gold ever actually existed. And he says, "Well, there was one man who said it did, but he went down in history as a liar, and his descendants have been the objects of ridicule since." just stares at Usopp, and Usopp is saying, "It's not me!" It's pretty amazing. And what's really interesting about this volume is that something as simple as getting to the next arc basically takes not just one volume, but basically two volumes. All of the Jaya events take two volumes worth of manga. That's about, well, let's actually count how many chapters to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's about 12 chapters of One Piece in volume 25. So assuming that there's about the same amount in volume 24, that's about 24 chapters of manga. Just of pre-arc, you know, events. And just to put that into perspective, that's 24 chapters, about 4 chapters a month. We're talking about, let's see, 24, 20, 16, 12. Dang it, Mo, you're better at math, aren't you?
I am. Wait, how many chapters?
It's 24 chapters divided by 4. Wait, 4 times 4. No.
Oh, 4 times 4. Hang on, 16.
Right, okay, so 4 times... Okay, yeah, 4 times 6. Okay, so that's 4, so that's...
24.
6 weeks, so that's... wait a minute, so... Oh, man. Math cast. Jeez. All right, so let's see. So 4 weeks, 6 times, so that's about 6 months? No, not 6 months. That's 6 weeks. Yeah. No, wait. No, yeah, it was about 6 months.
Are you trying to figure out how long this arc took when
it was?
I think it took about 2 years.
No, I mean just the Jaya part.
Oh, the Jaya.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's 24 chapters, 4 chapters in a week.
And all of them take breaks those times.
Yeah, four chapters in a month. So
yeah, 6 months.
6 months, yeah. So 6 months of just getting to the, you know, just getting through Jaya and getting to Skypiea. Half a year, which, yeah, 2 volumes is about half a year. So that was half a year just getting to where they needed to be. Has that happened in the manga recently? Where he'd spend like half a year just... getting to the important stuff, like, you know, not in the middle of the actual important arc. I don't think he really does that anymore.
No, he doesn't.
And that's what makes this really nice, is that just the story was taking its time to get where it needed to be. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that just could have been skipped, you know? The story of Nolan is important, but, you know, all the time they spend finding the South Bird, everything with Bellamy, you know, all that could have been skipped. And I mean, all this stuff about, you know, and there's extra chapters in there that kind of help, you know, do a little bit of world building before the big arc starts, which is a good addition, because we get to see the, you know, the world government, we get the elders, we get to see we get to see Whitebeard and his sexy nurses that
I will never see again.
Yeah. Where did you go, sexy nurses?
They're insignificant.
Yeah. At least it was like Oda's, you know, chance to design different looking women, and for the most part he does, except at the same time, you kind of can't help shake the feeling that, you know, if you swapped out hairstyles, these would all be Nami.
Yep.
But, yeah, and then, another funny part I want to point out is just with the, you know, how the South Bird is constantly facing, you know, south, and it tries to, like, you know, mess with them by turning its face, you know, north, and it just can't. It's pretty hilarious, and yeah, this volume is really great. It also has the, as you know, if you longtime listeners remember, the best punch in all of One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
When he just punches out Bellamy, and it's amazing. And yeah, so yeah. Other than that, it's a really good volume, and it's a really nice sort of, you know, it just really shows how One Piece kind of, you know, capable of taking its time, and not, you know, just constantly being, you know, fast paced or anything. This volume really, you know, it took like basically. This was basically a quarter of a year, this volume of story, before we actually got to the main story, which starts in volume 26. And, all right, let's take a look at this one. And, yeah, this one is basically them arriving in Skypiea and realizing, hey, look how...
Not Skypiea, yeah, they enter like, lower, but, yeah, they're up and above the clouds now.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they basically, it's like, you know, it's an ocean of clouds, and they're, you know, they meet some locals there, and they're kind of, you know, just getting, you know, learning about the place.
Now they're in Skypiea.
Yeah, and another funny moment where, you know, they find out about, as they say in the official translation, Kami. And a place that nobody is allowed to go, and then everyone's like, no, you mustn't go there. And if he's like, I see a place I absolutely cannot go, and you've got Usopp, Sanji, Zoro, and Chopper, just like, he's going to go there, just thinking it.
Like, oh, you say you can't go there, I'm going to go there anyway. Like, oh, he's going to go there.
Yep, it's pretty, it is another one of those casually funny moments, and yeah, so let's see, where do we go?
How about that waiver part?
Oh, yeah. Which part specifically about it?
The part where Luffy was jealous.
Oh, yeah,
that was funny.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was really funny.
He tried to ride the thing, and he fell off. Like, ah! Oh, okay, wait. Can Nessie sink? Yeah, he sinks. Like, get it back out.
Yeah. Counts as the ocean, apparently. Let's see. Yeah, and also... Yeah, we also find out that there's something going on with Nami, discovering that, you know, there's actual land there. And so, and let's see, yeah, Nami and the others on the ship get kidnapped, and it's time to go save them. So so it's Luffy, Usopp, and Sanji, and yeah, there we get... the beginning of, you know, the challenges and everything. So, it's... Yeah, we also find out that Zoro is an atheist. although I don't think it's so much necessarily he's an atheist. Because as we find out later, it's like, you know, Kami doesn't necessarily mean, you know, God. It means more... It's more like, you know, the president or the mayor of the Skypiea. Sort of like he is their king, basically. So, yeah, but this was, rereading this is definitely one of those, interesting moments for me since I've only gone through Skypee once.
Basically, wipers were really weird. It's like they got hassle with that thing above their back behind their head or something, like the rabbit ears or whatever. And then when they actually march, they actually crawl. I'm like, what the heck are they doing?
Yeah, I think they're basically meant to be parodies of like Green Berets, I guess. But they're like, you know, the whole crawling everywhere because, like, you know, as the typical training.
I didn't even know that. Do. Okay.
But wow. I think that's what it's meant to be. I mean, they're the White Berets, basically. So the parodies of the Green Berets and everything. But, yeah, so it was a good volume. I mean, it was the formulaic part of the story where it was the setup. Here's the new place that we are in, and look how weird and wonderful it is, and all that, you know. And then after that, we begin the story, and the story continues in volume 27, as Luffy and his group have to fight their way through the challenges.
Ordeal of balls.
Yeah, that fight was balls.
Ordeal of balls. That was like the funny thing. It's like, what should we choose? The ordeal of swamp? The ordeal of string, the ordeal of iron, the ordeal of ball. It's like, ball at least sounds a lot better. I'm like, yeah, sure does.
This is like Sanji. It's like, under no circumstances are we choosing the ordeal of balls.
He's like, no, we're going ordeal balls, damn it.
Like, no, I'm going to have to deal with this so much for the rest of my life. Yeah, but, okay, and let's see. Yeah, so they fight. It's all good. We get Ganfall, who comes to rescue Chopper, but is beaten up pretty badly.
Yeah.
We also meet the Shandians, who are basically, you know, Native Americans.
Yeah.
Like, exactly them, and, you know, it's basically Skypiea is a little bit of a, parallel, it's basically meant to be a parallel to the colonization of the states of America.
Ah, yes.
With the Skypeans being the Europeans and the Shandians being the Native Americans, of course. Although, as we later find out, it's less that the Skypeans came and took the land. A closer parallel would have been if, in the real world, America just happened to fall out of the sky and plop right down next to Britain. And then all the British people and the French people are like, that's a lot of land.
We want it.
Let's go move over there. That's a lot more land than we're... And all the British people are like, it's not raining there. We're moving over there. So...
Oh crap, there's tornadoes over here.
Yeah, you feel a little less like the Skypeans are to blame, you know, overall, but just because, you know, it's not like they went out and deliberately tried to, you know, steal land. It was more, oh hey look, there's land here. Sweet. It's a gift, obviously, because how often does land just fall out of the sky?
You mean come from below the sky?
Well, it shot up and then it fell down, I think. But that is not in this volume, so that's spoiler. But yeah, let's see.
Wait, what volume are we talking about still?
27.
Yeah, that's what we're on. 27. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not quite there yet, but let's see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, and here is this volume kind of shows why some people may not like this one, this story particularly, because there's a lot of running around and fighting things, you know?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, they do have kind of a... They do have
go on an island to explore.
Yes, well, you know, but they did have, you know, they did have the moment where they were able to, you know, sort of just group, gather together and then split up again. But, you know, at the same time, I think that's part of why people may not like this arc as much, because there is...
Our arc's kind of doing that, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, One Piece arcs do take a while a lot of times, but I think this one spent a lot of time, and we will see. I think we've got, like, 4 more volumes of this to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it does take a lot of time of just, you know, people running around, people fighting. So for anyone that's not a huge fan of fighting, that, you know,
This is a shonen. Why are you reading this in the first place? You're not a fan of fighting.
Well, yes, but there is such a thing as too much. And I think also to keep in mind is that
you've
got the Shandians attack in this volume. And then that scene, you kind of think of that in your mind and think, oh yeah, that's, you know, they're moving along pretty quickly to, you know, the final confrontation and all that. But then you have to consider that there's like four volumes left.
Not going to end right here yet. The main bad guy has disappeared.
I also have to wonder. We should actually go back at one point and see how many volumes each storyline is.
If I recall, the Skybia arc has about from volume 20. What is it? It started 26, right? 26 to 32.
Right. Yeah. It is not 32. I don't know. I'm looking at
32 is kind of where it kind of, you know, they leave the place. But it's at the very beginning, and then they continue on to the next one. That's how I looked at it online. That's what it said.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There is still... There's actually... Oh, no, wait. There's... Actually, yeah, there's half of... Sorry, yeah, half of 32 is still Skypiea.
Oh, wow.
There's even more. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 volumes. Seven volumes dealing specifically with Skypiea, and then two volumes for Jaya, which is the lead up to that.
So longest arc is we combine them as one entire arc.
I don't think so.
Okay, I guess not.
There's others, but I'm not sure about the length of them specifically. But yeah, those. Let's see. So. Mo, you're a huge Skypiea fan. Give your overall impression of these volumes and maybe answer to some of the criticisms that you've heard people level at this story.
What criticism? I don't recall any criticism.
I don't know. People saying, oh, it's my least favorite, or it's too long, or it's...
Well, I think it kinda gets there in the next few volumes. But for now, I think, well, maybe I guess people like they prefer fighting, and yet somehow they say, oh, it's too long, there's not enough fighting, like, ugh. I kind of like it this because there's not enough fighting. There's more character building, more development, and world building. Holy crap, man, so much world building.
Oh, building yes.
These three volumes. I mean, we had the superpowers, which appeared, appeared, and they all meet up and, like, decide what to do about Crocodile, and then they mention another, and then they have, like, a mention of another character who we saw at first, but we didn't realize, and like, oh, wait, this guy. Oh, crap, this guy. And he's going to play a big part later on for, you know. Then there's the whole world building with the whole this is where they find out that Upper Yard is basically part of Jaya like 400 years ago, right?
I think so. Yeah, Rob, Nami, and Robin, I think basically theorize on it based on the end map, the two maps that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Yeah, so yeah, that is kind of it, and we won't find out how that happened yet. That's coming up in the next couple volumes or so.
Oh, yeah, and also this is the arc where a lot of stuff happens that will actually entail to, you know, what we'll learn about, what will actually make One Piece, generally. I mean, not
right.
The other arcs have been making One Piece. This kind of, like, gives, like, more of a meat to it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. This gives more of a meat to it.
Yeah, this is the chapters
about
in
Skypiea without Jaya. What's Skypiea? I mean, we could just go through Jaya and go, okay, you know, oh, that's fine. We'll never get to Sky Island, whatever, move on. Oh, we'll be all sad.
Yeah.
We would take out Skypiea and just have Jaya there and then just move straight on to the next arc. It would have been all right, but it would have felt rushed because I think Oda did fine taking his time and doing Skypiea before One Piece got super popular. Because this is not when One Piece started to get super popular around about the next three arcs after this one.
Right. Yeah. The thing with the world building is that Volume 25 really was the first time that we got a look at events beyond our main, you know, our main characters. I think up to this point we hadn't really had that really happen besides, you know, with a Baroque Works arc where it'd focus on Crocodile and, you know, show scenes with him, but that was
That was just in Alabaster. It was nowhere, and it's nowhere near. Like, oh, I'm in Alabaster. Okay.
Yeah, it had specifically to do. It specifically dealt with the events of that specific arc. While here, we finally get the introduction of the, you know, of the world building between arcs and everything. You know, we see all the different characters. We start to see. We basically start to see very early on the beginning of what you know the. Everything post, well, pre and post Baroque works leads up to the thrust of the story, basically. Because, with Baroque works, it sort of introduces Ace and the idea of, you know, someone doing something else that isn't directly related to Luffy. But at the same time, you know, it still feels like the... You know, it does definitely, and this may just be me, but Baroque Works definitely does feel like a turning point for One Piece, where it's still, you know, it introduces the new format, but it's still within the old format. But post Baroque Works, when they finally get past that first hurdle, we get into the main body of the story, and we definitely start seeing more a push towards, you know. A big story with Whitebeard and the world government and all that. And
the funny thing is that stuff actually happened before in the Jai arc, not the Skypiea.
Yeah, it does. And I think the thing is that's why possibly some people may have been a little annoyed with Skypiea is because the introduction of these, you know, these all these extra, you know, elements and the introduction of. A really interesting story that is going on in the background comes right before they get to Skypiea, and then after Skypiea, it just focuses specifically on Skypiea.
Yeah.
And so, and there's like several volumes where it does feel like it's, you know, where it feels like it's detached from the main story that's happening in the world, and I think that's why it kind of may feel a little jarring for some people, because with Baroque Works, we didn't have the idea, the introduction of there being a larger ongoing story yet. We'd been introduced to Ace, but other than that, we were content to be focused on just that one story, because, and we didn't know that there was other stuff happening in the background. With Jaya, it introduces that, those background events to us. And then after that, we, you know, and then kind of after that, we go somewhere up into the sky that's out of the way. It doesn't really have anything to do with what's going on down in the, you know, down on the ocean level, at sea level.
But the log post said they have to go up to Sky Island. But
yes, I'm saying this is why it's distracting from a story point, not because... They didn't need to go there. It did say they needed to go there, so it was part of their journey. But as someone reading the story, if you're introduced to the extra stuff happening, you start thinking, oh, sweet, I can't wait to find out what's going on with Whitebeard and the pirate warlords and the world government. And then next thing you know, they're in Skypiea, and it's like several years worth of story.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years worth of story just focusing on Skypiea, and you're just sort of like, there was some other stuff that was going to happen, right? Which means, and I mean, a lot of reactions come from people that that read this in real time, you know? You don't usually hear people complaining about Skypiea that we're reading it, you know, just powering through just volume by volume like we're doing, and like we did when we first read it. But I can imagine that for people that were reading it week to week, that was a very long 2 years. I'm just saying. I mean, Fishman Island felt interminable, and that was only like, what, how many years?
Two?
I don't think it was.
One.
Yeah, I think it was like close
to one and a half.
Yeah, and you know, and I mean, Skypiea is a lot better written than, you know, than Fishman Island. But there's always that element of there's something else that makes you say, I want to move on to the next part of the story, whether it be the introduction of the grand story in the background, or whether it be the fact that the arc isn't very good, like Fishman Island, where you're just, okay, I want to move on. It becomes
That arc, as I think about that arc, is really pretty weird on me.
Well, fortunately, we will get a chance to talk about them, because
in the very far future.
At the rate we're going, hopefully not so far, but
not so far.
Yeah, because right now I'm looking at that stack of manga, and volume 70 is, well, actually volume 69 is glaring at me right now. Volume 70.
69.
Yeah, and it's got Zoro on it, looking all angry for some reason.
Dang it, Zoro! What the heck are you doing?
But yeah, volume 70 is kind of, I think, the most recent one. But by the time we get, you know, forward, we'll probably have like volumes 72 or something. I can't remember. I'll have to put those into the schedule the closer we get to it. But yeah, you know, I mean, it definitely is a completely different experience to read something just powering through rather than reading one chapter a week. Because, yeah, if we were reading one chapter a week of Skypiea, I'd like to see how long you'd keep the tune that you're singing right now.
Well, the problem is this was way before One Piece got popular and before, you know, it got published overseas.
Well,
until then. And it was only in Japan at the time, so I don't know how the Japanese felt, but I'm sorry for those Japanese readers who go, oh my god, are they going to finish it?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of American and European and other readers were reading it as it was being, you know, translated by reading Scanlations, so they were reading it at the time. Well, yeah, they do really suck, so yeah, definitely worth buying the Skypiea volumes. I'm just going to say that. But, yeah, and the thing is, I'm not saying that Skypiea is terrible. It just, and I actually really like it. It's just, it's really funny. There's a lot of funny stuff, and there's a lot of exciting action. It just is basically an extended plot detour, in my opinion.
I'm fine with that.
Which, you know, and I mean, starting off with this, it's, you know, it's good still, because, I mean, we're introduced to a brand new world, so it feels like its own separate story. Like, this story could be its own book, not connected to any of the previous events. It's the most standalone thing that One Piece has ever done. Everything else usually connects to the big backstory or to, you know, the things that are happening in the background. But yeah,
later on we're gonna find out that this little bit actually does connect to the main story in a way. Just a little bit, but far later on.
We do find that out a little bit, but yeah, definitely. If I were ever to see a One Piece novel being written, I could see it being written about this, because one, there's enough material there for a single book, and not even a light novel, and actually a pretty decent sized book, and two,
a light novel.
It also does, you know, stand out as being that one story that kind of, you know, if you removed it, ultimately you wouldn't lose much from the overall story.
So, okay, a little spoiler. After this arc is a long, long island arc. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
But basically, we'll just go straight from, they introduce the superpowers and Whitebeard, and suddenly, and then they escape, those guys, pirates. We know who they are, right?
Oh, yeah, the Blackbeard.
Yeah, Blackbeard. They skipped the Blackbeard part. Oh, they got away. Knock upstream and wait. Mm-hmm.
Knock upstream.
They can't just ride the knock upstream and fall down. They'd be dead.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Oh, yeah. A storm stopped us. Okay, a storm. They got away. The storm beat us. I'm like, yeah, I could probably roll with that. And then, look, we're on Long Island. What is this place? This guy on the field.
Yeah. Knock upstream.
I feel like, that's a nice transition, but what about Sky Island? I'd be one of the very few upset about it. What about Sky Island?
Yeah. But I mean, you could, I don't know. I mean, the story could be written. I mean, you could be written in that you could skip Jaya, with the exception that a very, very, very important character is introduced in Jaya, but we won't say who just yet. But nonetheless, you know, it could be written around is the thing. But anyway,
I wish there was anime as a movie on a standalone movie.
No, that would be good. Skypiea, but yeah, still.
But then they'd be animating every arc as a movie. Imagine that.
Oh, Lord, no. Well, doable.
But they do the entire East Blue arc, and then but then it kind of feels weird because they had to cut off certain parts every time.
It could be doable. Honestly, I wouldn't actually mind that. Like, you know, if they went back to the beginning. And, well, kind of like what they did with, like, the episode of Nami, where they redid the Arlong arc. I haven't watched that yet. I need to watch it. So I don't know whether it's actually any good. But, you know, you have the basic idea there being, you know, go back and reanimate certain arcs either as a movie or as an OVA, which I think would actually be really nice because you could then actually fix the freaking pacing. Because, I mean, one of the reasons that
movie... Next time on Dragon Ball Z, they're still fighting.
Jeez, no. But, you know, the problem with movie 8, which is the Alabasta movie, is that there is way too much content in there for one movie, sort of. I mean, the thing is that... Yeah, I mean, you could go and reanimate everything, but you would kind of have to... worry about, you know, how much time the fights take. But, you know, if they went and reanimated the entire One Piece story as a series of OVAs, sticking to the perfect pacing, like, you know, have each OVA be an hour long and stick to the pacing exactly as it is in the manga rather than, you know, as they are right now where a lot of the stuff that happens takes forever and they're always focused and stretch out the wrong parts that get so dragged out and boring. And so, yeah, I could totally see them doing like an OVA and just fit the pacing perfectly. It would, you know, it would actually be kind of nice to see that. Kind of like what they're doing with Hellsing Ultimate. But anyway, I think that's enough talking about these volumes for now.
So next week,
get
to the fight in next volume.
Yes. All right, next week we are on a break because it is Golden Week, so we won't be having any new manga chapters next week. When we come back, what we will be dealing with then is most likely volumes 28, 29, and 30 of One Piece, but at the same time we will also have had a brand new release of Ranma ½ Volume 2 and Nisekoi Volume 3 on the same day.
You don't mean 5 volumes again, do you?
Maybe.
That's 6 volumes because it's Ranma ½ Omnibus.
Well, we're going to have to see what we do with that because, yeah, we got Ranma ½ and Nisekoi, and those are the brand new ones, and they come out next week. They come out. If we were doing an episode next week, it would be a lot easier because we could do One Piece next week and then skip One Piece the following week and just do Ranma ½ and Nisekoi, which would be a total of 3 volumes. But since there's kind of a week off, and then we get Ranma ½, so I'm kind of thinking we could do it. You know, we're taking a week off, so we'll have time to do all the reading, 3 volumes of One Piece this week. 2 volumes of Ranma ½ next week and 1 volume of Nisekoi next week. Could totally do it.
Yep, 1 volume isn't hard a day. It's not too hard at all.
Yeah, but that's not a guarantee, listeners, but that is what I'm thinking. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the...
Commentary.
Yes, the commentary section. It's time for the commentary section of the manga podcast that we do, Manga Cube. That's it. All right, for the week of April 27th. Yeah, it was April 27th. I looked up my calendar and it was like
28th.
Was it? No, I don't know. All I saw was, yeah, I looked at my calendar and saw it's the first today. I was like, oh geez, the first of May. Is like
basically the chapters come out on every Monday, so the 28th.
Well, yes, but I know they come out on Monday. I didn't know what date Monday was.
It was Monday. Oh wait.
Shut your mouth. All right. Well. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into the chapters. And all right. So the cover of this week's issue is kind of interesting. It's kind of has Luffy as just, you know, the only adult there. All the others are in their, drawn in their kid forms, which is kind of weird. It's like saying, yeah, this is how much more popular One Piece is. You are all not but children compared to him.
Actually, yeah, he's been around longer than any of them.
Well, only by a little bit compared to Naruto.
Well, he's still older than Naruto.
But I think it's meant to be in terms of popularity. Because if you notice, Naruto is the one that looks the oldest out of the rest of them. But, yeah. Also kind of interesting that they chose Chitoge to represent Nisekoi. Which,
she's easier to spot. I can understand that.
Well, yeah, true. And she is the main is one of the main characters. But I kind of get the feeling that she was probably chosen because she's more of a main character than any of the girls in any of the other series that are in this magazine right now.
True.
But let's go ahead and talk about One Piece, Chapter 745, The Birdcage. Okay, well, we get a color spread this week. And it's... I actually really like it. It's a lot of fun. It's just, you know, it's not one of those weird ones where they're building with giant Lego or they're wearing soldier uniforms or, you know, whatnot. It's nothing like that. It's just
a... It's water themed.
Yeah, well, it's still everything in One Piece is water themed when you
get
down to it.
But this is water themed.
But, you know, this one is more of a scene from their daily lives in between the big arcs and everything, with the exception of two monkeys added in there. But basically, yeah, it's washing day with Usopp washing the cannon, Zoro washing, I don't know, one of his clothes, and I guess Brook is mopping the upper floors. Franky is just goofing off for the sake of goofing off.
Look at where Brook's pointing.
Yeah, that is actually a really fun little detail in the background. You've got Brook who's like pointing at Robin's basket of laundry, and Robin actually looks kind of pissed.
She even has her finger like, no.
And she actually has an angry face. And who else has an angry face? Sanji and Nami. And why do they have an angry face? Because, well, since it appears that Nami's are the only clothes actually being hung up, and Luffy currently has Nami's dress on his head, which Sanji is trying to chase him down and get it away from him, but Luffy refuses to give it back, or either he doesn't notice. Either way, I think we all know whose fault this is. This is totally Usopp's fault.
It's Usopp's fault!
Yeah, just look at how he's just sitting there, cleaning the barrel of his phallic cannon, not having anything to do with Luffy grabbing Nami's clothes and refusing to give them back. Clearly, this is all Usopp's fault.
I see. Isn't there something on Chopper's head, too?
Well, yeah, his, too, but down that path, madness lies.
Madness lies.
Yes. But, yeah, if it's any hint, we're not huge fans of Oda's. Anytime Luffy reacted to a naked woman, it was because Usopp was there and is a bad example. Yeah.
It's only matter time until he slips into someone says, hey, didn't you say something about,
ignore that.
That was a panda. The panda rolls that. I did not write that.
Yep.
Or.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and talk about the actual chapter, which is a big chapter. For one, we get to find out why Doflamingo... Well, before we get there, we have a panel that I'm sure many fans will probably be saving because it's Robin shows that she knows Koala and Sabo and Hack, having been with the revolutionaries for like 2 years, and Koala is hugging her and pressing her face into Robin's chest. So,
but it's not big enough. I don't want to save it.
I'm sure the fetishists can increase the size of the image.
Still not big enough.
And it's actually really good resolution if you have an iPad or an iPhone.
See.
But yeah, nonetheless, let's see. All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's move on. We find out that Doflamingo, the reason that he's still alive, is because the one that we saw was not actually him. Turns out that apparently he can make a duplicate of himself using his string powers.
So kind of like what Robin just did, right?
Yeah, kind of. Except, I don't know, this was actually a nice little twist because, I mean, I was kind of sitting thinking, oh, maybe he controls Law's powers, but no, it's just, it was a duplicate. So, yeah, and then we find out what the birdcage is, and it turns out it's massive strings that basically lock everyone in, and you touch it, and they're razor sharp. And then he does what he did 10 years ago and starts controlling some of the people, and they start attacking random people, and so no good. And he uses Pika to completely change the land scape and rise the factory and the palace up above the sky. And he tells, okay, you know what, I could have, it was like, I like this line, let's be real here, I could have ruled with an iron fist from the start. Now that you know the truth, a great number of you no doubt wish to kill me, so let's just make a game. The object is, kill me. Except, you maybe, if you don't think you can kill me, there's another way for this game to end, and that is for you to bring in certain heads. So, he's basically, setting up a game a little bit like Eneru's. Had set up, except where Eneru was more like, oh, this is just my own thing, I'm gonna randomly have everyone just start fighting each other, where this one, it's, it was just more something that happened, but with this one, it was specifically he's going about and making this happen, so, but it is a little bit similar.
I'm starting an impromptu tournament,
Oh, no. Okay, but yeah, still, it was a great chapter. I loved this chapter because we got to find out how Doflamingo survived, and I was wrong, and I like being wrong when it comes to One Piece because that means Oda outsmarted me.
Good.
Yep, and...
Also, that one panel where Luffy got punched, and I was like, wait, was that Luffy's fist, or was that Doflamingo's fist?
Yeah, it was Doflamingo. He can use armament hockey, and Luffy, that looked really painful.
No, see, what I thought was that he probably got Luffy with his strength and then turned it back on his face. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Luffy was like, nah, I'm going to punch you in the face myself.
Yeah, and this was a good follow-up. This was a really good follow-up from the Doflamingo was, oh no, Doflamingo's dead. No, he isn't. We expected him not to be dead. And we were kind of thinking, oh man, that would be amazing if it turned out he was dead, because that would just be the weirdest way Oda has ever ended this kind of an arc, but yep, looks like we're moving into the end game.
Yeah, I missed the other group. What happened to the other group?
Hello, they're probably
Big Mom.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be like
whoever it was.
Zoro and Usopp and the other two, Johnny and Yosaku's group. During the Baratie arc, they disappeared, and then we later followed up and saw, hey, this is where, this is where they disappeared. This is what happened in the meanwhile. So, yeah. All right, let's move on to Naruto, chapter 674. And this is the first time I've ever seen anyone in Naruto actually shoot lightning. We've had people use lightning before, like the Chidori, which was like a lightning blade fist kind of thing, but this is the first time it's being shot out like Revenge of the Emperor Palpatine style.
Wait, the lightning village, whatever they were, never used lightning?
At least I never saw them shooting it out like this. And it looks kind of weird to see the way the way it's drawn, because, it's like all the branching paths, and it just kind of looks
tree branches.
Yeah, I know. It looks a little weird,
like Thunder Blast! Those are tree branches. Obviously, those are tree branches.
Yeah.
That's lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, the rest of this chapter is basically fighting and is... I don't know. I didn't really like it all that much.
Madara has a second Madara.
Yeah, exactly. If just for the fact that, the fight is just a chance for Sasuke to show off how awesome he is. And yet... That never works for me, mostly, well, one, because I hate the damn character, but mostly because, we never see him work for anything he can do. So, and I mean, it kind of does piss me off that Naruto's gained all these extra powers without us ever seeing him actually have to work for them. It feels like a complete betrayal of the entire series. But Sasuke has been doing it for so long that, you know, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be more pissed about. The fact that Naruto is now going I randomly get superpowers without working for it, or the fact that Sasuke has yet again gained more superpowers without freaking working for it. You know, the more at first I thought, oh, this is a whatever chapter. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more pissed I get.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Not a fan of this chapter. And also, once again, at the end, Sakura manages to be a little bit useless. So, it's like, you know, you were just standing there. All you had to do was stab him in the eye, and then you didn't. You were just hesitating.
You want me to what? Yeah, stab me in the eye. You want me to what? I just said stab me in the eye. Say it again. Stab me in the eye, you stupid.
Yeah. It's especially, you know, she's like, the way she's hesitating, and I'm like, you know, the proper reaction for you is to be, hey, you're the guy that has been messing with my best friend, so I'm totally going to stab you in the eye. But yeah, other than that, this was a pretty stupid chapter. I mean, the action was interesting and fun and all that, but you know what would have really been fun? If we hadn't spent the past 3 years with a bullshit war that nobody gives a crap about, focusing on fights that were completely pointless in the end, and instead I'd have been focusing on how Naruto became so uber powerful. Because this is a huge, massive leap, and it would be really cool if it had have had the build-up of seeing Naruto train to actually gain these abilities. As it is, it's just lazy, you know, it's just lazy writing with Naruto gaining powers the way Sasuke does, because Kishimoto can't be bothered to actually write it. Oh well.
Because he's ending the series, he's trying to end it, he's trying to put as much as he can to end it.
Well, yes, but at the same time, this is not well written.
Well, it should end by next year.
Hopefully. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, but let's move on to Bleach, chapter 578, The Undead 5. All right, and it's a pretty, yeah, I don't know, it's a bit of an interesting moment, mostly with,
it was funny.
Yeah, Kenpachi discovering, it's like Kenpachi, you know, being able to beat the void of space. And it's like, here's what I don't get. It's like, oh, fluids evaporate out of your eyes and oral cavity in outer space. The blood exposed to outer space begins to boil from your wounds. If you try to breathe, your lungs collapse. Bio tissue begins to disintegrate and you'll die a slow death. He's a mother
God
fucking spirit.
Yeah.
He. This wouldn't be such a big problem. The rest of the chapter is just fine, but I'm like, gosh darn it, Kubo, remember your own damn rules. He's a spirit. He's not. He doesn't have bio tissue. He's not living. Space shouldn't hurt him. And I mean, obviously, in the end, it doesn't hurt him. But that's just it. That's just because he manages to cut through the reality or whatever. And it's, I mean, it shouldn't have hurt him at all in the first place. Like, he shouldn't have even reacted to it because he's not living. There's nothing for it. There's no actual blood. I mean, in the very beginning of the series, it says, oh, you know, the amount of damage you can take is equal to your spirit power. You know, it's not actually real blood, etc., and all that. So it's just, how the heck is Kenpachi? I really, really, really wish Kubo would remember his own freaking rules. And, you know, also remember the fact that, you know, if you want these guys to be living, make them living. If you want them to be gods, basically, don't have them react as if they had physical bodies, which you've clearly said they don't. They have spirit.
Don't call them Shinigami, you don't want them to be gods.
Yeah, they have spirit bodies, but it's never been said that they're exactly 100% like human bodies. It's specifically been said they aren't like human bodies, and yet he's reacting the way a human body would. Anyway.
Does it help that Grammy explodes?
It is a little amusing, except it doesn't make any sense. Where it's like, oh, he's like, you turned me into a monster inside your own head. It's that monster that killed you. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like, how's that exact? Well, it's like he says you are a monster, and it's like, I'll become stronger than you. And it's like, well, he has ultimate imagination. How does bulking up like that make him suddenly die? I don't get it.
He thought so hard, he exploded.
I guess, you know, that's it.
He thought, therefore he exploded.
Yeah, I guess we couldn't really expect a smart conclusion to this battle, because, I mean, this was kind of a dumb battle.
Yeah, it was.
Even if it was gloriously stupid, but oh well. All right, let's move on. Time to talk about All You Need Is Kill, Chapter 13. So,
I don't know why, but the Lion King song was in my head when I read this chapter.
Yeah. It's basically just Rita and KG being, you know, having
bonding,
having a moment between the two of them where, you know, it's like here's two people that have gone through the same horrible experience. And, yeah, being able to, you know, just spend some time together with someone that actually knows what they're going through, so they actually start looking happy again. So it was kind of a bit of a silly chapter, but it was necessary and entertaining. Although at the same time, it made me realize that I think KG's been trapped in his loop so much longer than Rita was in any of hers, so kind of get the feeling that it's like, yeah, KG, you're not as smart as Rita. She figured it out on her own. You had it explained to you. But, yeah. So, I guess it just basically has some good build-up, and it actually raises the stakes of the battle, which is a difficult thing to do, considering that,
he keeps dying, you know?
Well, yeah. But, you know, because, I mean, he keeps coming back, so it's sort of like, oh, yeah, whatever, 160 times. Yeah, that's a lot. But, you know, you don't really kind of get the sense of, you know, the stakes being high, you know, because it doesn't really matter in the end. But with this, you know, the time that they were able to spend together, you know, it just does really help. You know, it just helps raise that tension of, you know, what if everything goes wrong tomorrow? So.
What if she dies? I'm going to see the movie and be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Might be like that.
Yeah, I want to go see the movie just to see how it compares to the manga.
Did it come out yet?
I don't know. I don't think
so. I think it's next month.
Yeah, I don't think it's yet. All right.
I mean, June, okay?
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah. All right, time for us to... Okay, then. Let's move on to World Trigger, chapter... There it is. Chapter 58, Invasion, Part 8. And... It was actually a pretty awesome chapter, mostly because we get to see, what's-his-face, just completely punch the dude in the face through his magnetic shield, which was really cool. And let's see, other than that, yeah, it was just kind of mostly just a lot of other characters sort of like seeing what the other characters are doing. So definitely not as exciting as some of the previous chapters because it's mostly kind of a setup, but still a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. So, did you have anything you wanted to add about this one?
I feel bad for not remembering that guy's name. They didn't even say his name this time, so I can't remember what his name was.
I know, right? That's a little...
It starts with a K, though, as far as I know.
I don't know. Just call him the Scruffy Hunk. That's what that's what his name is. But, yeah. All right, well, let's move on to Stealth Symphony, Chapter 10. This series has a lot of fan service now.
A
lot from the exact same character, which it's a mermaid. They tend to be the ones that are barely wearing anything, but still, that's a lot of boobs in this battle chapter.
It's a mermaid!
Yep.
Oh, one of the vampire.
Yeah, and she shows massive cleavage as well because vampire. But
that's what vampires do. Plus, mermaids do that. So this is what's the word? This is okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It makes sense. But yeah, also, yeah, we learned something about glass dragons in that they don't have fire or water or lightning or ice of their own to spit. It turns out they, because they are glass, they don't have their own elements, so they can swallow up anything and spit it out as their breath. So,
ripped off fairy tale.
Well done. The one original thing in fairy... yeah, the one original part of fairy tale, and now, oh, someone finally ripped it off. Oh, dear. And I mean, you could say, it's like, no, but Natsu, but the Dragon Slayers only eat their specific element. It's like, except later on, we find out that Natsu is capable of not only eating pure magic, but also different kinds of magic. It really disagrees with him.
He's not really a fire dragon slayer. He's more like an anything dragon slayer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, eventually gains the ability to swallow other kinds of magic. And so with this one, it's like, oh, hey, look, but, you know, it works for me just fine because the idea of a dragon that doesn't have its own breath is kind of a fun idea, and the fact that he starts out being able to swallow up anything and use it as his breath is, you know, it works for me. Well, at the same time, yeah, it is pretty much a ripoff.
But, yeah. I'll accept it because, I'll be honest, Fairy Tail's been doing a lot of stuff that I just swear, like, I've seen this in one piece.
Yeah, it does that a lot. So, fair play. So, I don't know, what do you think
the odds... Can't complain, Mashima.
Yeah.
I like the chapter, though.
Yeah, I don't know, what do you think the odds are of the mermaid becoming, being reformed and becoming a good guy?
You mean something like Liebearer was? With the whole
Something along those lines. I'm talking more every early antagonist of any shonen manga ever. Is what I'm talking about.
Comes an ally.
Yeah, you know, and it also, I mean, she is kind of like cruel and everything, but at the same time, you know, she has a sympathetic past in that she was experimented on early on and found out that the people that, yeah, they were, people around her were kind of messed up. So, you know, she's got this setup for a sympathetic villain that becomes sympathetic and actually becomes, you know, an ally.
True, it is possible since some series have done that.
Yeah.
Like Nura, I recall.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens next week. I am a little intrigued. I mean, if it happens, it would be, you know, stereotypical. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, I'm interested.
Hey, they get a mermaid. Please let her. I know she's a little psycho, but, you know, That can change.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that psychotic characters became good guys and suddenly got over their psychosis.
Can you name any?
Not off the top of my head, but Gajio. Well, actually, yes, Gajio for one.
Oh, yes, Gajio.
Yeah, remember, he was kind of psychotic and he made a habit of crucifying people and throwing knives at them.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying, he was kind of messed
up. Jesus, Gajio. What the heck, man?
Mm-hmm.
But, what happened to you? I wonder what his past, to be honest. What about the other guys? I don't care.
Anyway, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 275, Dazzling Mist.
Oh, this chapter was just dazzling.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it's, yeah, we find out that the frog doesn't actually smell like the frog from the ocean. Turns out he's not the, it would appear he's not that same frog, and then he... Turns out that they are surrounded by leech eels, which are basically these leech tentacle monster snake worm things. And it turns, we see Toriko completely covered in the things. It's like, oh geez, oh no, Toriko's dead. And then it turns out, nope, poison. Poison wins all.
Clones! They do better than our dumb game.
Yeah, poison dolls. And turns out that, yeah, everyone's a poison doll here, and Coco actually just killed them all. And then the person wheel face thing.
Anyudo.
Yeah, shows up. So, it's cool stuff. I like this chapter. It had a nice moment of, whoa, that got creepy and dark.
It's like, if you believe it, it will happen. Well, I believe it, but it didn't really happen. Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, Yeah, this is a good chapter this week. I liked it. All right, let's move on to Nisekoi, chapter 120. And this was another really good Nisekoi chapter. I like this story.
Yeah.
I like the reactions of everyone finding out that, you know, what's her face?
Yui.
Yui, yeah, that's it. I was like, Miss Kanakura, but I was like, no, what's her first name? But yeah, it turns out that she also has a key. It's broken, but she has a key. She was there 10 years ago, and I do like the reactions where it is a little contrived, where it finds out that, I mean, we already know that Onodera, Chitoge, Marika were there, but then it turns out that Tsugumi was there too, and... Yeah,
I had a feeling she was. I had a feeling. Yeah, I mean, I know the mention, but I recall there was some sort of mention at some point.
I can't remember. Well, we're reading through the series again, so we'll see. But yeah, I do like. And then there's another, there's another boob joke at the expense of Tsugumi, which was actually kind of fun because it's so small. It's just Yui's
just eyes.
Like, eyes. Yeah, like arrows from her eyes. It's like, yes, you've really grown up. It's like, excuse me?
What are you staring at?
Yeah, and then, but I was so annoyed when it turned out that, nope, she knows nothing besides knowing a little bit more about, you know, who everyone is and knowing that they were all there because she was 2 years older than them, so she could remember better. But she doesn't know anything about the promise. But, yeah. Also, I absolutely loved the, Yui and Marika dynamic is a lot of fun. Just because Marika is, you know, she always acts so prim and proper and doesn't ever want to be embarrassed. And then you find someone that knows stuff that will embarrass her, such as the fact that they all bathe together and
mental image.
Yeah. It was really funny. And the faces of the chapter definitely go to Marika. Yeah, every face she makes is perfect this chapter. And then I guess we find out that, it was like, apparently he made a promise with Yui, but he doesn't remember a single thing, and she refuses to tell him. But then she brings up a good point, is like, you know, when you find out who you made the promise with, are you going to give your heart to that person? Which is kind of a good point, because, you know, he's in love with Onodera, and he's kind of, seems like he's hoping that she's the one, that way, you know, it will give him an excuse to be in a relationship with her. But, you know, it is an interesting point, you know, what if it turns out to be someone you're not actually interested in being with? What if turns out Marika was the one that he actually promised to marry? What then? So,
well, I remember the hints kind of pointing out that it would not be her, like she knows something.
Yeah, probably not her. I mean, I think we all know it's probably going to, either it turns out to be Chitoge or he ends up with Chitoge at the end anyway. But still, this chapter raises up some questions and is actually really intriguing. All right, let's move on. We have chapter 17 of Seraph of the End. And... I don't know, this one was a little confusing because it was meant to be as like, oh, hey, look, here, who's the actual bad guys? It's like, the Haragis are bad, or wait, no, are they really? Well, they seem to be kind of bad, they're kind of jerks, but then it's like, oh, you can't trust Gurren because he knows that you were experimented upon by the people the Hyakuya, which were... You know, which whose name he had just because that was the name of the orphanage, and they were all these people that experimented on others. So I'm kind of thinking, I can see the twist coming where it turns out he is actually a Hyakuya, not just someone who's, you know, just an orphan who was in there because he was an orphan. But yeah, we find out that they're the ones responsible for experimenting on you and why you as that angel thing form in him. And he said, kind of try to pull off the, oh, Gurren is a bad guy because he doesn't, you know, he didn't tell you about that. But then later on, it's like, oh, Gurren is still the good guy, I guess, because he's slightly less bad than the Hiragi or something. I don't know. It's a bit confusing, but nonetheless, it was okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Not the best chapter, but I liked it. I mean, there's a lot to take in, but I liked it.
Yeah, it definitely not my favorite chapter. Just because, I don't know, there was, There was a lot of material, but a lot of it I was kind of interested in, but at the same time, it wasn't. I don't know. This series is kind of, here and there as far as my opinion of it go. So we'll kind of have to,
Oh yeah, the part where two of you friends were stabbed, and I was like, "Wait, is that the left?" Oh, that's a heart.
Whoops. Oh dear.
Said, "Don't worry, they'll recover. They have demons after." I'm like, "Dude, you don't want to do that all the time. It's not a good thing. What if the recover? What if the recover? The regeneration starts becoming slower in the process?"
We'll have to see. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break now. I need to run to work, but once I get back, within the next couple seconds for everyone, we will be going over Assassination Classroom and Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma, and that will be it for the commentary for the week, just because it looks like Kodansha does their they do their Golden Week week off a week earlier than Shonen Jump. So no Kodansha chapters this week. There will be some next week, but next week we'll be taking a break because there's no weekly Shonen Jump. So the week after that's going to be a pain because there's going to be double Kodansha chapters to talk about.
Oh my God! Why don't we just do Kodansha?
What? When? Now?
Next week.
It's not worth having an episode with just Kodansha. We only have two chapters we go over.
True.
So
Okay.
it's a lot easier to have, it's kind of pointless to have an entire episode dedicated to two chapters when we could just, do two extra ones next week. So we'll do that instead. But
Okay.
for now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the last two chapters for this week.
Intermission.
Welcome back to the episode. It's time for us to quickly go over Assassination Classroom Chapter 86 and Shokugeki no Soma Chapter 67. Yes, 67. Excellent. All right then. So, Assassination Classroom, Chapter 86. It's another one of those chapters where it looks like Kuro Sensei is in trouble, but then turns out that he isn't. Except this time, it's a little nice in that he really would have gotten his butt kicked if it weren't for his students, which is sort of like you kind of have to remember is like, guys. This guy's gonna destroy the world. You really shouldn't care how he does it or how he's killed. But then at the same time, there's the whole, yeah, but if we don't do it, we don't get the money. And I'm like, dude, the world's gonna be destroyed because you're all fighting against each other. But okay then.
Yeah, but if they all kill them, if they don't, if they don't get to kill them, then they don't get the money. Plus, if they have to work together with more people, then the money will be split up and shared. And I don't think even all the nations with all their money put together
Well,
would be enough for everyone who wants it, you know?
yeah, well, and yet, if they keep fighting against everyone that's trying to kill him, the world's going to be blown up and they won't get the money anyway. So,
Well, we don't know if that's really going to happen.
just saying. We'll see, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But with this chapter, basically, Shiro abandons Itona, who, and Itona is, we get to find out what his actual sort of past is, basically.
Oribe.
Yeah, how he managed to, how he was actually implanted with the tentacle cells, and they're kind of killing him right now. So they have to find some way to get rid of them. But how?
When I saw his last name, I was like, it reads like horrible. I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel about this.
Yeah, he's kind of a dull character, but whatever. I do like seeing Terasaka's group kind of stand up and say, "Hey, we'll take care of this guy."
If he doesn't make it, well, that's just as far as he can make it. I'm like, okay.
Fair enough. It was an all right chapter, but honestly, this storyline is a little eh to me. Anything involving Itona and Shiro was always kind of eh to me, so I couldn't really get into it so much. But all right, let's go ahead and sorry. What was your opinion on this chapter?
Yeah, it was all right. I'm not really a fan of Itona myself.
Yeah. All right, well, in that case, let's move on to Shokugeki no Soma, Chapter 67. And we begin off with, you know, right after we were saying, oh, it's not so fancy anymore, we end the last chapter and begin this chapter with, well, this chapter is even more explicit somehow because there's actual censorship instead of just having her drawn without any details on her body. But in this one, it's like, oh, there's a light or her hair are covering her nipples, which, okay then.
It's her spirit.
Yeah.
As you know.
Well, yeah, except in this case, it wasn't because it's, you know, actual censoring. But, yeah, I really like the end of this fight. But still, if it was meant to be her spirit the way it was last chapter, where it didn't show any details, then why bother censoring bits, you know? Unless last chapter their details were there, they were just censored by light we couldn't see. Or something, yeah. I don't know, is weird. But yeah, so we got, yeah, so she loses, Alice loses. And I like how she goes out the way she was kind of in the fight. Where, you know, she just completely has a temper tantrum. Where she just starts crying and, you know, flailing around on the ground. Kind of like a little kid that isn't allowed to get his favorite cereal. But, yeah, and then after the, let's see, yeah, we get to see Irina and Alice sort of interact. And Irina's like, haha, you're nothing special. And Alice kind of gets pissed off at her. And, yeah.
We'll get yours, Irina.
Yeah, and then, well, except, you know, it's not like she's being a jerk. It's more,
I know.
You know, it's more she's kind of, you know, she's just seeing, it's like, you know, you're going to see it from both ends where Alice was the one that was always ignored in favor of Irina, but Irina is the one that she's never ignored, so she can't ever do what she wants on her own, so she's not able to, you know, just have a, just break down and cry the way Alice did, because, you know, Alice, yeah, sure, she's fighting hard to prove herself, but in the end, people aren't like, you know, don't think of it as much if she were to cry. While with Irina, it's clearly if she breaks down and starts crying, people are like, oh, gossip, gossip, and all that. But, yeah, I like this ending to this fight. Now we get the beginning of the next battle, which is Megumi versus...
Ryo Kurokiba, Alice's aide.
Yep, so...
He's actually better than her.
Apparently, yeah, he's, you know...
He's seen her in cooking more times, and I'm like,
He's like, are you lecturing me? Know your place, of course. I'm saying this fully knowing my place. And m'lady, say those words after you have more wins against me in cooking. You're like, oh, okay. I guess he's better than her, so that means that Megumi is probably not going to win this one. Just saying.
Yeah,
so it's, yeah, and the theme of the match is ramen. So I'm just sitting here, it's like, oh, yes, see what we got here.
I'm going to eat ramen while reading it, the next chapter, like, and then I see Megumi lose it. Oh, it doesn't taste good anymore.
It's like, it tastes like ash in my mouth, and like something else that sounds like ash, only without the lisp. All right, well, those were the chapters for this week, and I think it's time for us to wrap things up, shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
Indeed, all right, starting with the author comments, One Piece is a true... Oh, wait, sorry. Before I do that, this has been Manga Cubed, episode 95, for the week of April 28th, 2014. And this week we went over One Piece volumes... 25 to 27.
Yes.
Yes, that is what we went over. All right, and we also discussed the chapters this week, minus the Kodansha chapters, because those are currently not available.
They took their golden week off earlier than we expected.
Yeah, so that's going to mess things up, where next week there's no weekly Shonen Jump, but...
And then when they come back, we have to do
two Kodansha chapters, Because there'll be the... They'll have the ones that come out next week, but we'll talk about those the week after. when we actually do the episode, because, you know, it's kind of pointless to do a review of two chapters when we don't have the weekly Shonen Jump chapters. So
yeah, just imagine when we have to start catching up on the other Kodansha chapters that I read and you read, and we're like, hey, you know, we did like 6 of these, so now we do 12 of these for that coming week, right? Oh.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, either way, I'm kind of figuring, I mean, we could probably find enough content to make that episode one of the shorter episodes, but still have it be long enough to be worth being an episode. You know, we could probably just review a lot of individual manga chapters, but at the same time, I'm thinking, you know what? Nah, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to use that break to edit all the backlog of podcasts that we have, because these are going to be really weird, because they're all going to be coming out at once, and people are going to be saying, hey, wait a minute, but these all came out on the same day, and yet they're talking as if it was 4 months ago. To which I say, shut up.
4 months ago, we were talking about souls. I'm like, I'm so lost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode, and then we will record the next episode in 2 weeks' time. All right, so One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. I've become a man who understands the greatness of tekamaki sushi rolls. The name is cool, and they taste great.
I bet we're going to see this in One Piece sometime. I don't know when. Mm-hmm. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I watched The Amazing Spider-Man 2. You have to see in 3D. Wait, did it come out yet?
What the hell? Mm-hmm. It's only coming out. Wait a second. That hasn't. I thought that was. That just came out today.
Yeah.
As in. No, wait, no. Yeah, Friday. It's coming out Friday. Okay.
Today.
4, 6, 4. This is. Oh, what the heck? Japan. Stealing our movies. All right, let's see.
Marvel.
Yeah, it's coming out today.
You know, the Avengers don't save anyone except America. Everyone's just an accident.
Yes, yes. Tisk. All right. Next one, Bleach's Tite Kubo. I want to go to Kyoto during Golden Week. I plan to be there by the time this is published.
Well, I wonder if he was there by the time this is published. I won't even say... I was not there by the time it was published. I actually got there 2 days after it was published.
Uh-huh. Alright, next one.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. People keep telling me to go see Frozen. I wonder if I'll have time for it during the Golden Week. Oh, you will.
You'd better have time.
You better watch us, or I'll send you the Khmer version.
No, don't. It's awful.
The guy singing, I'm like, what?
We're no longer talking about this. Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. The one-shot version, which shows the relationships between all the characters, is up on the Japanese Shonen Jump site. Please check it out.
Oh, how wonderful. So, what? We're just hotcakes now?
I don't know if we're getting it. Maybe we'll get it. But anyway.
Maybe next one. Yep. Maybe sometime. Toriko's Mystic Post Kimbukuro. Yeah, that's true. It's got bad ranking so far right now. My rice cooker's high-speed setting already makes the rice taste fine. So I don't understand why it has a normal setting. I don't know myself.
Nisako is now Shikomi. Lately, I've been enjoying unsweetened tea. I used to not be able to drink it unless it was sweet. I still put a little sugar in my coffee, though.
You cheater. Unsweet. I've been enjoying unsweetened tea. Oh, I actually put a little sugar in it. That's not, that's still sweet.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so just for some of the announcements, like we mentioned, there's no issue next week, because then there won't be an episode next week. But also worth pointing is that Hunter x Hunter has returned. And with it, it is bringing... Well, actually, no, wait, no. Ah, gosh darn it. Cut.
It'll be returned.
All right, let me try this again. Take two. Weekly Shonen Jump will be online, will be returning May 12th, and with it, it will be bringing back Hunter x Hunter back from its very long hiatus. The only problem now is that I have no clue about anything about this series, so we're going to have to catch up, read that series, shan't we?
Actually, it's going to be coming back on June 2nd.
Oh, June 2nd? Oh, crap. Oh, well, in the June 2nd issue, and then Japanese and English, Hunter x Hunter makes its highly anticipated return with the beginning of an epic new story arc. Join Gon and friends as they resume their incredible journey. Oh, dear. We'll see how that how long that will last.
But I still don't understand why it's popular. I didn't really. It's kind of like on the same line of people gonna hate me for this, but when Naruto was popular, that's how it feels to me. I don't hate it though, but I just.
I don't know. I haven't read it.
So. I have a thing against protagonists that are like 10 years and younger. I don't know.
But yeah, either way, I'm kind of on this because this is a series that I don't really feel like starting to read because the freaking guy doesn't bother actually writing the stupid thing. So I know that if I get into it, I'm just going to be disappointed when he inevitably goes on hiatus again. But maybe we'll be fans of the series will be lucky and it will actually, you know, this will actually make him continue, knowing that he's not just making a complete ass of himself in Japan, that now officially he'd be making an ass of himself in several other countries as well, including the North America, Britain, and wherever the heck else this magazine gets published. I think South Africa is one of them. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
2 weeks later, after Hunter Hunter returns, Togashi goes on hiatus. But what?
He has now become a laughingstock in the entire world.
Clearly, man.
He already was, but now it's official. But yeah. Oh well.
Two of his main characters appear as characters in that crossover Shonen Jump fighting game.
Well, it's a popular series, but anyway, time for the rankings. But before we do that, I also want to point out that I saw the cover for the for this week's Japanese edition of Weekly Shonen Jump, and it has a lot more characters on there.
Yeah. So
all I can say is that Luffy ate the others during the trip over.
It's almost like, so this is what it feels like to be my food.
Yeah, and Toriko is like, oh, geez. He's a monster. He's a monster, I tell you.
He feels like, I got a frying pan. I'll save them. Like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do our rankings. Let's see. Rankings. Fourth place goes to, I'll say World Trigger.
Okay, I'll say Stealth Symphony for me. All
right. I was thinking of it, but then I decided the only really actually appealing part of it is the fact that the villain that they're fighting is wearing almost no clothes, and that just doesn't count towards my rankings.
Which one?
In Stealth Symphony.
Oh, well, that's not what I cared about, generally.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't think of any other reason why I liked it. So, anyway, my fourth... Oh, I already said my fourth place. Third place, I'm going to say Toriko.
Hang on. My third place is... Yeah, Toriko.
Indeed. Yeah, it was just, you know, it was just fun. It was kind of a little bit creepy and bit fun. And second place is Nisekoi.
One Piece.
Okay. Yeah, Nisekoi, just because it was really, really, really funny. And I like funny stories, and I like how we're actually getting back to the main story a little bit here, while also having the individual chapters stand out on their own just perfectly fine.
Okay, now the reason why One Piece is second over to what's in first, you should know what's first for me.
Well, yeah.
Because, well, as much as there's a lot of content in it, it kind of was one that whole, oh, we're going to start again. Okay, so it's just a start. And, like, you know, some crazy heat be going on. But, you know, if Luffy didn't get punched in the face, he wasn't number one right there.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, Luffy.
Yeah. Well, my number one is still One Piece because I really like it was mostly a setup chapter, but I like that we got the, you know, the answer as to how Doflamingo is still alive. And I also enjoy the setup of the rest of the arc. This can take a while, but it should be a lot of fun, you know, seeing people fight, you know, just seeing a lot of people sort of like, you know, not team up, but I mean square off one-on-one and see everyone fight each other. So it should be a lot of fun to see what happens.
As long as Doflamingo doesn't do his own, you know, Rigel going on around it. Oh, I'm going to just zap you for no reason.
Let's hope that is avoided. But anyway, what's your number one?
Nisekoi.
All right. Why did you like it more than I did?
Because this chapter actually got me a bit more invested, even though we didn't get really any. We didn't really get. Oh, actually, we did get an answer. as to why you was like, oh, I didn't want to say because, you know, it'll be bad if, you know, how would you feel if the one that you like actually is a bit, what is the one that, you know, how would you feel if you found that if you found one that was a punk, but, you know, then she implied that what is the one that you didn't like?
Yeah.
So she only appeared recently and she's already a favorite.
Yeah, she's already definitely a lot of fun. But all right, well, that does it for this week's episode. Remember, any questions or comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. Leave comments on the episodes on burninglizardstudios.com or Twitter @burninglizard. And we will see you all not next week, but the following week after our nice break. And remember, in the meanwhile, the manga is always better.
Have a fun gaming week, everyone.